On our scripture reading today, first reading is from Psalm 118, verses 1 to 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Build the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Our gospel reading comes from Luke 19, 28 to 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come to Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Now, as he was approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. A member of the congregation, who shall be nameless, Terry, told me I had to have a 10-minute sermon today. And I told him that it might be a little bit longer, but let's see how long it is. Nick, why don't you hit the stopwatch on your thing? Got it? Tell me when. Give me a sign to tell, you know, go now. All right. It was Palm Sunday. But because of a sore throat, 5-year-old Annie stayed home from church with her mother. And when the rest of the family returned home, they were carrying palm branches. And Annie asked them what they were for. Well, people held them over Jesus' head as he rode by on a colt, her father explained. Wouldn't you know it, Annie fussed. The one Sunday I'm sick, and Jesus finally shows up, and he's offering pony rides. Recently, I watched a documentary by the History Channel on Abraham Lincoln. And I really enjoy studying history, and it gives me pride that my son now teaches history. But it was very informative, and it got me thinking about some similarities between the end of Lincoln's life and the life of Jesus. Both were emotional roller coasters that went from triumph to tragedy within a week. I mean, think about it. On April 4th, 1865, The Civil War was finally ending, and news of the fall of Richmond was spreading throughout the nation's capital. People were celebrating in the streets. In a single week, the nation went from triumph to tragedy. And a short time later, the people lined the streets. You know what? I'm missing a page. That did not make sense. Let's try that again. People were celebrating in the streets. It was glorious. There we go. A joyful time. And they gave thanks 4 years. And the commissioner of public buildings, Benjamin Brown French, turned to Psalm 118 in the Bible, the psalm that was read this morning. And he selected verse 23, had it painted on a large cloth, and raised it on the Capitol building. And that verse says, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Now, if you want to go back a little couple of centuries before that, and over in England, when Elizabeth the First was first informed of her sister Mary's death, and why am I fading in and out? She greeted the heralds with the news with that same quote, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Well, celebrations continued through April 9th, which was Palm Sunday, when Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendered Appomattox, Virginia. And in Washington, guns were fired in salute to commemorate the day. The euphoria of the Union victory was felt throughout the Holy Week that followed, with crowds taking to the streets. Now, I kind of doubted that they waved palm branches, because where would you have gotten those in Washington, D.C. at that time? But on Good Friday of that week, triumph turned to tragedy when President Lincoln, while attending a play at Ford's Theater, was shot, and he died the following morning. In a single week, the nation went from triumph to tragedy. And a short time later, the people lined the streets for a massive funeral procession. Like the residents of Jerusalem, they moved quickly from a joyous parade of celebration to a tragic death. On the first Palm Sunday, Jesus and his disciples were on the road to Jerusalem, the nation's capital. He sent two disciples into the village ahead of them, telling them that they would find a colt that had never been ridden. Now, this was not a war horse like those of General Lee and General Grant. The colt that Jesus wanted was a symbol of peace, not war. "Untie him," said Jesus, "and bring it here." And the disciples departed and found it. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord needs it." And the owners immediately released the colt. And the disciples brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it to kind of form a saddle, and sat Jesus on it. And Luke tells us as he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Now notice that what was missing from Luke's story, as it was read to you, there is no mention of palm branches. Matthew tells us that people cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Mark says the people spread leafy branches. And John reports that they took branches of palm trees. But for whatever reason, Luke is not interested in palms. I mean, based on this story alone, we could have called this day Cloak Sunday or Jacket Sunday. We would wave our jackets in church instead of palm branches. Well, fortunately, the Bible gives us four accounts of Palm Sunday. As Jesus was moving along the path down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude began to praise God joyfully for all the deeds of power they had seen. They shouted, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God in the highest heaven." They were quoting Psalm 118, the same psalm that had been put on the United States Capitol at the end of the Civil War. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, multitude in Jerusalem. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." But triumph gave way to tragedy in Washington, and palms were replaced by passion in the city of Jerusalem. And the word passion, when we speak of the passion of Christ, it means suffering. And the passion of Jesus Christ began very soon after his triumphal entry on a colt. After entering Jerusalem, he wept over the city. And then he cleansed the temple. And his authority was questioned by the other priests, or the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people. And Jesus predicted the destruction of the temple and spoke of signs and persecutions. And then the plot to kill Jesus unfolded, culminating in his betrayal, arrest, and crucifixion. Holy Week in Jerusalem moved quickly from celebration to suffering. Jesus did not come to lead a military overthrow of the Roman Empire and its occupation of the Holy Land. Jesus achieves his goals not by military strength, but by sacrifice. In this great reversal, Jesus comes to win an even more profound victory. And the victory of Jesus is not the triumph we would expect. I mean, instead of attacking the hated Roman Empire, he enters Jerusalem with a message of peace. Instead of begging God to spare him, he prays, "Not my will, but yours be done," in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the crowd on Palm Sunday shouts, "Peace on earth and glory in the highest heaven," they are not yet aware how this peace will be won. They do not yet grasp that Jesus will be making peace between people and God through his death on the cross. Jesus resolves a dispute, but it is not between Jews and Romans in first century Jerusalem. Instead, it is between humans and God in every time and place. In Jesus Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, says the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, not counting their sin against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. We have a message of reconciliation and peace based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His death and resurrection have dealt with God and from one another. This is the power he offers, power to know forgiveness and peace of mind. And the reason we feel joy on Palm Sunday is not because Jesus is a hero of Jerusalem. It's because he is our Lord and Savior in every time and place. His death breaks down the barrier that separates us from God and from one another. His sacrifice unleashes a power that provides us with forgiveness and peace of mind. Abraham Lincoln has long been known as the great emancipator. I mean, after all, he issued the Emancipation Proclamation and freed the slaves. In his eulogy to Lincoln, Senator Sumner said, "Mourn not the dead, but rejoice in his life and example. Rejoice that through him emancipation was proclaimed." And Sumner's words are appropriate for Jesus as well, as we move from triumph to tragedy. We can rejoice that through Jesus emancipation was proclaimed, emancipation from sin and death. We can rejoice in his life and example, a life of grace and peace, and an example of service and sacrifice. On this Palm Sunday, Let's stand with the multitude and begin the journey from the triumph of Jesus' entry to the tragedy of his passion and death on Good Friday. We will remember and mourn his death, but also rejoice in his life, his example, and his work of emancipation. The full Christian life accepts both palms and passion, triumph and tragedy. This is the Lord's doing, says Psalm 118, and it is marvelous in our eyes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.